The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 20th of August, 2019, an important day here in the city of Tucson. It's happy birthday time, 244 years since the founding of Tucson by the folks from Spain. But of course, people have lived at the base of a mountain and along the Santa Cruz River actually for thousands of years. One of the big attractions, of course, was water flowing in the Santa Cruz. And that's going to be our topic, our lead topic today. We've got recycled water once again creating flow in the Santa Cruz River through downtown Tucson, thanks to the Tucson Water and the Santa Cruz Heritage Project. Knowing that it takes the greater community to reclaim Tucson's rivers and streams, the environmental nonprofit group known as Watershed Management Group created the River Run Network in 2016 to engage the public in efforts to restore heritage flow to Tucson's waterways. With me in studio is the executive director of the Watershed Management Group, Lisa Shipek. Lisa, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me here today, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Watershed Group.
Yes. Well, actually, I'm one of the co-founders of Watershed Management Group. I went to grad school at the University of Arizona, and several of us, well, actually six of us, master's students at the U of A got together and put this group together. So we were young and energetic and ready to change the world, and we put together our nonprofit. It's based here in Tucson. I've been involved since then, several years on a working board, and then I became executive director in 2006.
How big is your footprint? What are you looking at when you're talking about watershed management?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit organization. We have 15 staff based locally, although we do some work regionally as well and in the border area. We are based out of our Living Lab and Learning Center on Dodge near Speedway. So we have an educational facility that's open during the week, and we have many classes and workshops and tours where the public can come and interact.
Tell me a little bit about, we're talking of obviously about the Santa Cruz, but other rivers as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The River Run Network is looking at a greater watershed. So the Santa Cruz River is our largest river and most iconic, but that is fed by a number of creeks, streams, and rivers throughout the watershed. So like Sabino Creek and Tanque Verde Creek, Pantano, the Rito River, Cañada del Oro, so many amazing creeks and tributaries to the Santa Cruz River that are just as important.
People say, well, why would we need a watershed management group? These are just dry riverbeds. What do you say to those people? And I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Yeah. well, they didn't used to be that way.
Sure.
So they used to, a lot of these creeks and rivers used to flow most of the year or all year. And, you know, water is our most precious resource. Mm-hmm. So our rivers really are, we like to say it's our canary in the coal mine. The fact that our rivers don't have water is a major indicator of lack of watershed health and lack of water security. So it's really important to us that we see that, we recognize that as a community, and we look to build our water security back up. And there's been a lot of work over the decades to do this, to recharge our groundwater, to reconnect to our streams, and to make sure we have water security into the future.
Do you like what's going on in downtown with what Tucson Water is doing?
Yes, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful celebration of our heritage of flowing rivers. We definitely applaud the efforts of Tucson Water and Pima County working together to make this a possibility where we can see daily flows downtown. And I really think that helps open up the community's understanding of what desert rivers can look like, and that what our heritage has been, that there used to be flows in the Santa Cruz on a regular basis. And I think that will help energize the community to do more.
We're speaking with Lisa Shipek. Lisa is the executive director and co-founder of this group we've been discussing, known as it's a nonprofit watershed management group. What about restoration work, and do you use volunteers, and what would that restoration work, Lisa, encompass?
Yes, so we do a lot of boots on the ground work. We actually go out and plan restoration projects along our creeks and rivers, most often in the floodplains, and we've been partnering with Pima County Regional Flood Control District on a lot of those projects. We have one coming up here this Saturday along the Rito River in the floodplain, and we're doing what's often referred to as green infrastructure, where we're putting in rainwater, stormwater collecting features, basins, and swales and berms to infiltrate that stormwater into the ground close to its source. And so that we're putting more water into the aquifer. We're able to support more vegetation along our rivers, have that wonderful cooling riparian vegetation that helps slowly with each project restore the quality of our river systems.
How does someone take part in that?
Yeah, so we have a website, watershedmg.org, where you can go to our community calendar and sign up for things like this restoration workshop or other activities like our creek walks. And those activities are all free. You just go and sign up, and then we send you all the information on how to go out and participate.
Will there be planting this Saturday?
Yeah, so the workshops vary, but often we're putting in native plants. We are helping shape those earthworks, that green infrastructure. Sometimes we do some trash cleanup. Sometimes we remove invasives. So a
yeah,
variety
I was
of
wonder
activities.
That there are invasives certainly in our watershed area. So I wondered if at all possible, a lot of it might be very difficult to take out, but what you can, you try to take out.
Yes,
correct?
Yeah, we identify those invasive species and remove those out of the area and make sure we're replacing them with our native riparian vegetation.
You have something called creek walks, and tell us about that.
Yes, we started these a couple of years ago. They're so much fun. I'm helping lead one on Wednesday with Trevor Hare, our river restoration biologist.
You're leading one tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm keeping track of the days.
There you go. Today's Tuesday,
yes.
So tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
You're going to be leading a creek walk.
Yes, yeah. So we're leading a creek walk. There's still time to sign up. We are doing a walk along the Tanque Verde Creek on the east side of town in a stretch that has water actually most of the year. And it's a beautiful little section of this creek. We're going to be showing folks what the creek looks like, talking about what its historic nature was like, and what each of us can do to help restore that section of the creek.
Kind of disappointing the rainy season this year, the AKA monsoon. Some say it's like a non-soon, didn't really show up this year because we haven't seen a lot of water in our creeks,
right?
Have we?
Yeah, the monsoon has been a little disappointing for sure. I mean, of course, the rain's variable across the city and the state, but there has not been much in Midtown. So there's not as much water in our creeks and rivers this summer as we would like to see, but we're hoping for some late monsoon activity and perhaps some degrading hurricane storms in September to replenish those aquifers.
When you and your friends came together and said, let's form this group, did you use another city as a model, or is this something of a hybrid?
I think we did not use another city as a model. There were several folks who had been involved in international work and Peace Corps work, and I think all of us were very much interested in community-based conservation and things we had been learning in school and new models we'd been seeing and really wanting to bring this natural resource management out of the government, not out of the government agencies, but not just left to government agencies, but where it's something that each one of us can do in our backyard, especially in a place like Tucson, where there is so much land and we can take a part and do things in our own yard to connect to nature, to connect to the watershed.
Have you noticed some tangible results with your cleanup efforts?
Yeah, we've actually just started the river cleanups here in the last year. It's a little bit of a slow build. We're hoping to do more of those. Mm-hmm. But really what we're hoping to do is inspire this ethic among the community. So, you know, we as an organization can only do so many cleanups.
Sure.
But all the people who are joining the River Run Network right now, we're getting close to 1,500 members. And if all of those folks are going out to their local creek or arroyo and doing their own cleanups, then we're going to start to see those results across the community.
And people can get more information about membership, about your activities, again, where?
Yes, if you visit our website, watershedmg.org, and then /RRN for River Run Network. That's all the information about that program. And it's really easy to just click a few buttons to sign up and join the River Run Network, and then you can get involved right away.
And the activities are free?
Yes. Yep. All the creek walks and restoration workshops and cleanups, those are all free community activities. We want to encourage as many people as possible.
Lisa Shipbeck, thank you very much. Enjoyed talking to
thank
you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Stick around, Lisa, because I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods?
Oh, yes.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker, Steve, has that new grill that he has installed. And so they're doing breakfast, hot breakfast with everything you can imagine. Yes, the pancakes, the waffles, the eggs, the hash browns. 6:30 each morning for breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. How about a great sandwich, a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries at your disposal at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link on my website, buckmastershow.com, a link not only to Mona's, but all of our great partners who make our work here in Tucson on the radio possible. It's 10:30, The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. Our financial guy, Shelley Fishman, giving me a thumbs down in the other room. He's next. That thumbs down means it's kind of an off day on the financial markets. Shelley will have all the details after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Shelly Fishman. Shelly, how are you?
Well, today it's Tuesday and the market is behaving like a Tuesday.
Yeah, usually a little bit down.
Yeah.
But also, this is a Tuesday of your birthday week. And let me be the first, Shelly, to wish you a happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. 27 again.
Yeah, 27 again. Hey, let's do the program note as well, because next Tuesday, something a little different. Pretty much since we launched the Buckmaster Show back in 2011, you've been on Tuesday, but you're going to be hosting for me while I'm on vacation,
right?
One of the days next week, and because of a scheduling thing, we've got you on Thursday of
right.
next week.
So
but you've got
be,
a great show
this is
going to
be a
Thursday.
Lot of fun.
Yeah,
I've got my boss coming in. He's the chief financial officer and the chief investment officer of PFG Advisors up in Phoenix. And he's been in this business a very long time and recently kind of accepted the responsibility of being the chief investment officer. So he's gone through a whole patch of learning how to do that in a regulated environment, how to make decisions that will affect all of the advisors who use the portfolios that he's built and is recommending.
Yeah.
And he's going to take us into the back offices of a financial firm and let us know how they make decisions, how they get together as a group, as a committee to make these recommendations. Going to tell us a little bit about the regulations and the politics around it, and he'll probably make an economic forecast as well.
That'd be very interesting radio. That'd be our noontime hour next Thursday. Shelly, let's talk about what everybody else seems
dear.
To be talking about. You know what they're talking about. Are we or are we not going to have a recession?
Yeah.
Well, I guess big picture to the answer to that question would be, yes, we're going to have a recession. But when?
Well, and when and how deep?
When
is,
and how deep?
Is, you know, are the two questions. So the fact that there is, you know, business and the economy both run in cycles. And so we've been on almost an 11-year recovery or expansion since the Great Recession. And so what everybody is saying is there, of course, will be a recession. The question is going to be, when is it going to happen? What's going to trigger it? And when it does come, how deep will it be? How will people get hurt during this recession? So let's talk about, just at first glance, the economy looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment is down
mm-hmm.
To very, very low levels. There's even been some movement in wages upward, especially at the lower end of the spectrum, of the wage spectrum. Employment numbers are good. The consumer confidence numbers are down a bit, but they're still awfully good. So you would think that with this kind of economy staring us in the face, that a recession would be further off into the future rather than sooner.
Yeah, you got to wonder, why are people even talking about
right.
it?
Right. We've also had a tax cut for business and a tax cut for some individuals that would tend to create stimulus. But what happened is we got a sugar high for one quarter on that tax cut, and then the effects seemed to go away. We also have an administration that is determined to make it worse, even though, you know, they say it's they're going to make it better. But what they're really doing is putting up obstacles in the way of their own success. I don't get it, but that's what they're doing.
In other words, trade.
In other words,
trade tariffs.
But you know, you can take a look at any one of the many things that they're doing. In general, what they're doing is creating uncertainty. And, you know, we've talked about the markets hating uncertainty because, you know, investors prefer to see, you know, stability and a clear view toward the future to the extent that that's possible. But when we see instability and uncertainty in the economy, the world economy has slowed significantly. Several countries in Europe are either in recession
Germany.
Or are close to recession. Germany, probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We see political instability in other countries around the European Union. Italy, I believe, just announced elections today. We have elections coming off in Germany. We have elections in several other countries.
We have October 31st, Halloween.
And we have Brexit, Halloween. we've got the purchase of Greenland. Okay, not.
Well, no. The Danes said no way.
Yeah, they said go away and stay away.
Yes.
But that kind of uncertainty becomes kind of a snowball rolling downhill. And so people start talking about it. Consumers get a little anxious. They start saving or paying off debt. Consumption goes down. Manufacturing goes down. The U.S. dollar is fairly high right now, probably higher than it should be vis-a-vis the euro. And so our ability to export the goods that we make and our ability to sell them internally becomes, you know, somewhat limited. And when that happens, and by the way, there's no shortage of cash around. So if companies were going to be investing in new plant and new employees and new materials to grow their businesses, they ain't doing it. What they're doing is they're returning those investments to their shareholders. Interestingly, we had something today that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, I hope, which is this announcement from the conference board talking about who the stakeholders in a corporation really are and how to best meet their needs. That's something that could mitigate this if they do it right. We need to be very careful that this recession doesn't become a self-fulfilling prophecy as the news. I mean, you could not avoid it on the news, even Fox News, mm-hmm. over the weekend talking about this. And then we have, you know, Navarro and Kudlow out there lying to the American public. Even at the same time, they're wisely meeting within the White House to try to see what they could do to mitigate a recession. But don't lie to the American public.
Yeah, apparently the White House is trying to figure out ways to mitigate a recession.
Yeah, right.
But then they went on, his financial advisors went in front of the media and said that there is no worry.
Everything's hunky-dory, peachy keen.
So, who knows?
No worry.
But,
what
about the recession? You're saying we could slip into recession by when?
Okay, so if you take a look at what's been happening to GDP growth over the past several quarters, the slope is downward. We had below or at about 2% for the first quarter. The second quarter of this year. The third quarter is being forecast to come in between 1 and 2%, probably on the low end of that range. The fourth quarter, which we won't understand until April of next year, the fourth quarter will probably come in between 0.5% and 1%. That's awfully close to recession territory. If we slip into negative growth in the second quarter of 2020, we won't know it until sometime in July or August of next year. And that's smack dab in the middle of the election.
Right in the middle of it, right?
So from the perspective of the administration, this couldn't be worse timing. But my forecast is that's what's going to happen. We're going to have a negative first quarter growth of about 0.5%. We'll know it sometime in May. Then minus 1% in the second quarter. That will announce an official recession because by most measurements, a recession is two quarters of negative growth. And then we'll probably start coming out of it, but because it's not going to be very deep. With employment as robust as it is, Bill, some people will get hurt, and the people who will get hurt, of course, will be the most vulnerable people as jobs are cut back. But I don't think it's going to be a very deep recession, but it couldn't come at a worse time for the administration.
Right in the middle of the hot and heavy campaign season.
Yeah, and of course, some people are, you know, with Schadenfreude, are going to just gloat over it. You can probably bet that any tax relief, which would require congressional approval, probably won't happen unless something really bad happens, and the recession tends to be very deep. The administration doesn't have too many arrows in its quivers left, but they could certainly cancel some of the tariffs, and that might give the economy a little bit of a boost. But right now, we've been building up to this for a while, Bill, and it's tough. When something gets rolling, it's really tough to stop it on a dime. The Fed can't do it anymore because interest rates are as low as they are. And so what we have to do is kind of peripheral things to stimulate the economy. We heard rumors over the weekend of a cut in the payroll tax. That could produce some money with people who need it. The problem is when we tried that, Obama tried that in the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. The problem is if you do it kind of gradually, that is, you just do a percentage reduction in payroll taxes, people get $30-$40 a month, more, or maybe every 2 weeks in their paycheck. They don't really feel it. Whereas when we've done that before, it's been, here's a $700 check. That people feel. Mm-hmm. So, I hope that the advisors to the president are going to put their pride and their history of being wrong behind them, and try to find a way to save this economy before it plunges kind of off the cliff.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you so much. We'll look for your work with us next Thursday. That's going to be a fascinating hour, kind of behind the scenes, deep dive into the financial makings of a large
a large advisement firm.
There you go.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Bill.
And Shelley, have a great birthday
week. And you, a great vacation.
Thank you very much. Cool weather, we hope, up on Vancouver Island. All right, we'll take our break right here, right after this.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org. or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. You know, with our temperatures today, I think we've got a heat advisory that shows the temperatures could go up to 109, 110, pretty much historic levels for the month of August. This would be a great time to think about a trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where typically midday highs around mid-80s to 90 degrees, so you're going to get a lot of cooler weather if you make the drive, the three-hour drive, to visit southwest New Mexico, that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And you can start your trip by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Just spell out southwestnewmexico.org, and you'll see there all sorts of ideas about great places to stay and all sorts of ideas about how to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now on the live line the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. He is Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice, former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. And how about yourself?
Doing very well. Looking forward to getting away on Thursday as we head to the North Country to Vancouver Island to perhaps...
It should be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I don't even need to say perhaps cool weather. I know it's going to be.
No,
their temperatures,
it should be great.
Yeah, they're having actually a normal late summer, which is the first one of those they've had many years without it. All the smoke from forest fires and everything, with highs in the 60s, lows upper 40s. So that should be delightful.
Incredible.
All right. What is this new study we've been hearing about mounting tuition fees? High stress levels have left more than 3 out of 4 Geners and millennials stressed about tuition, living expenses, and getting good grades and finding a new career. They're all worried about those things. So what's going on there?
Well, it's real. I mean, college debt is a huge crisis in this country, and I think we're going to hear a lot about it on the campaign trail. I've already heard some of the candidates make large promises that there's going to be free college tuition if they're elected, and it's certainly on the mind of a lot of millennials who have amassed tremendous debt. This has been allowed really kind of in a way that I think has provided a tremendous burden on students and in some cases their parents. Students have been allowed to borrow money oftentimes at, really high interest rates. If they're age 18 or older, they don't even need their parents' permission to have borrowed this money. So you've got students with very, very large amounts of money owed. In fact, I've got some nieces and nephews, Bill, that finished their undergraduate degree, and, they have debt, unheard of debt in my mind of, $60,000 or more that they're going to have to pay back. And, sometimes, students, they're looking for jobs. They've got the stress of trying to find, start a career, and they've got this amount of money looming that they're going to have to pay back. And they are going to have to pay it back because a lot of this money came from third party banks, and they're going to expect it back just like any other loan. And, they're going to have monthly payments, and they're going to have to deal with it. And so this is going to be this is going to be a looming problem, I think, for some time for students. And Bill, the other thing that is kind of common in this whole loan industry is that the money was going directly to students, was very easy to get, and there really was very little accountability. In other words, this money was discretionary money. So some students refer to it as lifestyle money. You know, the money was supposed to be for tuition, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the money went that direction, because students could use it for whatever they wanted.
Oh, really? So there was no oversight on how the money was spent?
No conditions whatsoever. So you could get a really nice apartment. You could furnish it. I'm not suggesting that every student did this, but there was that lure. You know, imagine being 18, 19, 20 years old and, you know, having this money coming in. Sure, you had some debts with tuition, but you also had this other money too. So it didn't always get directed the way it should be. But nevertheless, that money is owed. And so this is a big issue. And I've heard some candidates suggest that, you know, these loans should be forgiven. But also know that I also know some students, you know, with their honesty and their integrity and their sick to it, started to pay this money back. And to me, that doesn't necessarily seem like the fair approach, you know, to taking care of debt that is owed. However, there's another suggestion, and that is that tuition in the future in colleges be tuition free. That's something that candidates are talking about. And I thought a lot about this, and I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here, Bill, and tell you that I think there's some merit to that idea with some conditions. And what I'm thinking about, at least my plan, would be to offer tuition free to a two-year community college, you know, or an accredited vocational program.
Right.
That essentially would be, it wouldn't be discretionary. The money would not go to the students. My idea would go directly to the institution.
Yeah.
And if the student wants to enroll in a university at a higher cost, they would get that same base credit, and they could pay the difference. And so every student essentially would have an opportunity for free higher education at the community college level or vocational school level. And again, the money would go to the institution, and then the student would have to be re-eligible each semester, which require sufficient attendance and satisfactory academic progress. And there would be some flexibility with this, and so that students could go part-time. Maybe they could take classes online. They could take classes in the evening. It would all be banked up to a certain amount that students would have as an allocation. But I really think this would be a way to provide support for students, not as a giveaway. It would have to be an earned credit. But if they got this earned credit, we could really boost opportunities for all individuals that could go beyond the high school level. Again, it would be a community college level or vocational training, depending on what the student wanted to do. But I think it would really boost our economy, and I think it would help students become contributing members of our society.
I think there's a lot of merit to that. You mentioned a relative that had, what, about
$60,000? Yeah, $60,000.
Well, the average, just from a couple of years ago, was a little over $10,000 on student debt. It's like tripled. It's over $31,000. That's the average of student debt.
Yeah, and that's an incredible amount of money when you think about doing, you know, paying that back on a payment plan and getting started a new job or starting a career or starting a family or whatever kinds of things our young people are confronted with today, and to have this extra burden, which probably at the time they never thought about. I mean, they took this money and they needed it. It was a legitimate, there were some legitimate expenses at that point, but now they have to face the reality of paying that money back.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob Hendricks. Always a pleasure.
And have a wonderful trip, Bill.
Thank you very much. Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, one of two dozen or so contributors who are with us on a regular basis on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Time to talk about one of our favorite places in town to do business. It's Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It has become a destination in itself, not just because it's a beautiful 13-acre site with a lot of great plants and things for the garden, but now with Zocalo, all the great merchandise, much of it is handcrafted from Mexico and Latin America and Europe. So they have actually a Zocalo Village on the property, five shops loaded with some really, really beautiful material. So check it out. First stop, maybe their website, greenthingsaz.com. It's exactly 15 minutes now before 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. Up next, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson calling in remotely from Austin, Texas. That's next. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster with this week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. First up in September for the Fox are two iconic shows, both standouts in their own genre, but for entirely different reasons. Friday, September the 6th, get your geek on with a full screening of the 2004 cult classic Napoleon Dynamite, followed by a live conversation and Q&A with the film's three lead actors. The fun and interactive evening, it's a partnership with FilmFest Tucson. Then, September the 14th, the Fox welcomes legendary bluegrass artists Del McCoury and David Grisman, performing together as Del and Dog. The friends are celebrating nearly 50 years of bluegrass and friendship with a unique set. They've got a bunch of great bluegrass favorites that they'll be performing, like John Henry, Walkin' the Dog, the Tennessee Waltz, and more. For more information and to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets and to stay informed as new shows are added, visit foxtucson.com. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Speaking of kind of country music and bluegrass, he's in Austin, Texas. And when you think of Austin, you kind of think of a lot of country music. How you doing, Dan?
I'm good. I'm at the JW Marriott here on Willie Nelson Way. So,
well, there you go.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, what's going on in Austin?
I don't know what the initials stand for, but it's the ESTO conference. It's a celebration of tourism marketing. So trying to learn a little bit more, get more people to Tucson, the whole bit.
Well, for those of us that are in Tucson right now, what's going on that you would recommend in the art scene?
Well, it is the beginning of theater season. I mean, there's obviously some theater shows that happen in the summer, but earnestly, most of the schedules of the major drama organizations in town sort of kick off in the next couple weeks. Invisible Theater, they are kicking off their 49th anniversary season with the Southwest premiere of the show Now and Then. It's by the playwright Sean Grennan. It's a romantic comedy, a little bit of drama about love and unpredictable, like how life turns out. Really great cast. The preview performance is Tuesday, September 3rd, and that's only $20. And then all the other performances of Now and Then are going to be $35. So if you want to get a little discount, check it out early.
That should be a good show.
It should be. Scoundrel and Scamp is opening their season on Thursday, August 29th, with a show that was first staged at the National Theater in New York. It is called The Little Foxes by Lillian Hellman. Mm-hmm. And that's got an outstanding ensemble cast. Eric Rao was great. Denise Bloom, Richard Thompson. There's about like six or seven performances of it at the Scoundrel and Scamp Theater on North 5th. They put on incredible shows. And then also Live Theater Workshop kicks off their fall season on August 29th. I mean, it's a lot to choose from. Mm. They have a show called Heisenberg, which is it's a two-person play. These two people sort of fall in love in a crowded London train station. It's this sort of like stripped down story about how life sort of takes over, the uncertainty of the things that of the human condition, as it were. So if you love theater, just clear your schedule. You're just going to be doing stuff all next week. Just cancel everything else.
Things are really, that theater season really cranking up. You just gave us three venues there right all at once. What else is going on?
Well, we also have a great, CCP has been doing, Center for Creative Photography has a great series of shows. They're doing the presentation there now is a combination of, it's like poetry and photography coming together. It's a collaboration with UVA Poetry Center. they have something that sounds like a lot of fun for the entire family. August 24th, it's part of their summer series called Once Upon a Story Time. It's with the bilingual poet in town, Logan Phillips. You might also know him as DJ Dirty Verbs. He's an incredible poet, really reflects like Borderlands culture. But it's going to be drop-in workshops, exhibitions, activities, and Logan's going to be working with young people on developing their own poetry based on photographs. So sounds like a pretty good time, something for the whole fam. And that's Saturday, August 24th from 1 to 4 at the center.
Boy, things really start to crank up, don't they, in September?
It's wild. I probably had like 50 things to choose from. I tried to round it down a little bit.
Well,
also, HoCo Fest, totally worth mentioning, happens over Labor Day weekend at Hotel Congress and venues all over downtown. Just go to HoCoFest.com for all the details.
There's also some, my friend and colleague here, Zach Yenzer, was talking with your colleague today from Visit Tucson about this Sonoran Sonoran Food Week that's coming up in September.
Yes, Sonoran Restaurant Week is sort of a
Sonoran Restaurant Week.
Sponsors of it, September 6th through 15th. We sort of, Mary and I, who was on the radio earlier today, sort of were like brainstorming, like, what can we do next to sort of like help facilitate the sort of both Tucsonans' appreciation of our food scene, but also how can we get maybe people from Phoenix or elsewhere sort of drive in. But that's 30 plus restaurants. I think I counted 32 the last time I saw that are all doing a special menu for this restaurant week. It's always three courses. It's either $25 or $35. And really Tucson's best restaurants from PY Steakhouse to the grill at Hacienda del Sol, Tito and Pep, all the Charo, the Flores family concepts. It's really incredible. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to buy another pant size up. Maybe two. Hard to say. It's going to be a real problem.
And it's very appropriate for us to be talking about food as an art, because culinary art is a food. I think that a lot of people would agree to that, right, Dan Gibson?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's still an expression of creativity and taking raw materials and turning them into something special and unique and creative flair of seeing the world in a different way. So yeah, it's just flavors instead of colors or notes or things like that. I stand by it.
Do you know about this cult classic that's going to be coming up here on September 6th, Friday at the Fox, the film Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. It was super hot there for a while. Like when I was in, I might not have been in college anymore, but it was a big hit sort of out of nowhere, like some young filmmakers from Idaho, I think, made this sort of super quirky, fun movie. It's a blast. There's one of those movies that, like, if you see it and you hadn't seen it before, you'll recognize a lot of the cultural contexts of it.
Anyway, that's going to be a fun night on Friday, September the 6th. So in Austin, you're showing the flag for Tucson, correct?
I'm trying. I have a button on my I'd rather be in Tucson button still.
Yeah, right.
Telling people that I hate Texas. It's been great. No, it's not true. I don't hate Texas. Well, I don't love anywhere as much as I love Tucson. So these tacos are inferior.
Yeah, in Austin, I think a lot of people kind of look to Austin as kind of a mecca for the arts and what they have done there. So, I mean, it's compatible certainly with Tucson, and Tucson can learn a lot from Austin, and I think Austin can learn from Tucson, right?
The scale of Austin is so wild, and just sort of how much it's like grown up in recent memory. And, you know, there's all these tech companies here and everything, and Dell sort of kicked that off. But yeah, it's an incredible atmosphere, and the food culture and just the amount of live music. My colleague Lee McLaughlin and I went to a jazz show last night. I went and saw a band we saw like a blues band the other night before. There's something happening all the time. And I think that's one thing Tucson, you know, it's like, how do we get to that next step? And part of that is, you know, developing those attractions, things for people to do basically all the time. But we're working on it.
All right. Before we go, next Wednesday, you'll be guest hosting for the Buckmaster Show. Understand you've got a full lineup.
It's true. Jim Ninsel, my former colleague at the Tucson Weekly, will be discussing the election results, both Ward 1 and the mayoral, the Democratic primaries there, which, you know, in the mayor will decide quite a bit. And then also we'll have Laura Reese, who's the head of Sonoran Restaurant Week, talking about that. And then I think We should have some Matt Russell special of a guy in Elgin who makes rum.
So, yeah, that rum is like won the World Tasting Award or something incredible. Who knows?
I'm 100% having him on, so he'll bring me free rum.
There you go. That's not how that works. That should be great.
It's a great story, by all means.
All right, have fun. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thanks, Bill. You have a great time.
Thanks, Light. Dan Gibson with us from Austin, Texas, with this week's Buckmaster Show, Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. As we were talking about Friday, September 6th, the 2004 cult classic Napoleon Dynamite, followed by a live conversation and Q&A with the film's three lead actors. That's coming up at the Fox on the 6th of September. Then you've got a big event on the 14th, legendary bluegrass artist Del McCoury and David Grisman performing as Del and Dog. That's going to be a great show. Go to foxtucson.com for ticket information. New shows are added all the time, so check it out on their website. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing, making sure all the buttons are pushed in the right direction or whatever. Thanks, John. That's going to do it for Buckmaster on a Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show. Until then, try to stay cool. Have a great afternoon and evening.